Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Huang. Now we take it to the region and to the news that's coming out from Myanmar, still dominating headlines.
Indeed. The country experienced a near total internet shutdown for the third straight night, plunging into an information blackout amid protests against the military junta.
And amid all the demonstrations over there, the military has guaranteed that it would hold an election and hand power to the winner, denying that its ouster of an elected government was a coup and denouncing protesters for inciting violence and intimidating civil servants.
Yeah, but at the same time, ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi is being remanded in custody until today and has been hit with a second charge, this time of violating the country's disaster management law.
That's right. That's after the initial charge of obscuring import and export law over walkie-talkies.
Let's head over to Thailand. There's another issue there. They, of course, have faced a military coup in recent years. Thai Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha is facing a vote of no confidence this week.
And this is all as opposition lawmakers target his government for its alleged mismanagement of the COVID-19 outbreak.
It comes amid a renewed push by pro-democracy activists for his removal, I beg your pardon, and reforms of the country's monarchy. Let's go to Malaysia.
Yes, closer to home, some good and some bad news. And Indonesia has also announced it will unveil plans on how digital banks should operate in the country.
All right, on the line is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha.
Let's do this, Leslie. Starting off in Myanmar, the military guaranteeing it'll hold an election and hand power to the winner.
So given, Leslie, the one-year state of emergency and no set date for this new election, how can the people of Myanmar actually trust that this will happen and that the results will be actually honoured?
Well, you know, judging from the way things are playing out, there's very little trust in the military, and the whole situation is turning into a test of wills between ordinary citizens and the coup masters. The protests are coming from all segments of society, and the question is, when will security forces lose the cohesiveness that they need for the military to stay in power? This is going to be key, I think, in the days to come. There's already talk that the police don't think that siding with the military is good. I think the question will be when segments of the military start to question the orders. It will be a time of reckoning. So. Clearly, things are playing out there differently, and there is seriously, the people, ordinary Myanmarese, are emboldened and taking their fight to the streets. So I think temperatures are just going to rise, actually, in the coming days.
Yeah, I hate that today we're talking about power struggles all over the region, because in Thailand, you've got a situation where the Premier Prayut Chan-o-cha is facing a vote of no confidence. Okay, it kind of mirrors the situation in Myanmar, because Prayut did lead the military to seize power in 2014. What have you learned from this situation?
Well, you know, Prayut is expected to survive the war, but his political prestige is taking a serious beating. And I think the question is, when do his own allies in the military begin to see him as a liability? Mm. Already, you know, they're already accusing the government for mishandling the COVID pandemic. There are serious issues with the economy. People are hurting very badly, and they're starting to look for a target, and Prayut is becoming that target to blame all these woes on. And I think, so the question now is, how long can he hold on together and especially hold his backers with him? Soon, you know, people are going to look for, you know, someone to pin the blame on, you know, and Prayut is clearly becoming that target at this point.
Yeah, very much. Well, let's continue on the theme of Myanmar around the region, the impact it's having. Malaysia is set to deport 1,200 Myanmar nationals on Navy ships, Leslie, sent from their homeland just 2 weeks after the military coup.
Yeah, would you believe they're accused of offences including not having valid travel documents and overstaying their visas?
Yeah, it's quite incredible. And it's drawn criticism from the United Nations. But what's the reaction been on the ground in Malaysia?
Well, you know, clearly this is pretty unfortunate. This could have been postponed, and why Malaysia is doing it at a time like this is only going to attract international scrutiny on its dealings with not just Myanmar nationals, but also other foreign workers who are now center of attention, you know, in this COVID pandemic. So one really wonders why the government is trying to attract this kind of unwanted attention, you know, on itself in dealing with this. I'm sure they could delay it, but you know, the government is saying that these guys, these people who are said to be deported, don't have were here because without valid documents. But you also hear from the UNHCR that they haven't been able to verify this to to distinguish between people who are kind of illegal migrant workers and real refugees, actually. So not a good situation for Malaysia. And I think then there is a need for more finesse in dealing with these kinds of issues. And this goes back to the government.
Certainly. Well, something else that the government, of course, is dealing with is COVID-19. And as we know, three states now, Selangor, Johor and Penang, as well as the capital, Kuala Lumpur, will remain in a partial lockdown from Friday.
But Leslie and Kales, where you're at, Malaysia is receiving its first batch of COVID-19 vaccines on Sunday. So how has this extension been received? I mean, we don't know much about the government's vaccine rollout plan. Any chance you could share more details with us?
Well, you know, the thing is that they came up with, the government came up with a kind of a blueprint yesterday with details. Depends on, you know, all of it is going to boil down to the implementation at this point. But going back to the extension of the lockdown rules, clearly there's widespread frustration. People, while, you know, there is some allowance for inter-district travel, interstate travel remains a no-no. And I think that's got a lot of people frustrated. So really, the ground is unhappy because the impact on the economy is really weighing down hard on ordinary Malaysians. Mm. You know, the impact. So this is not really endearing the government to many Malaysians at this point.
Yeah. Final question for you, Leslie, and it really highlights the new norm that we're in, because now Indonesia's financial watchdog is set to outline by the middle of the year how digital banks should operate in the country.
Yes. This is the way forward, isn't it, for the whole region. What details do we know so far, Leslie, and how much of a boost would this be to, of course, what is Southeast Asia's biggest economy?
You know, this could be a serious game changer for Indonesia. And Indonesian government is taking, you know, very light-handed approach to this, saying that, you know, they won't regulate the details. It won't be rules-based. It will be instead be, you know, open to banks to deal with this. I think what you're going to see is greater institutionalization of the bank ownership, which is a good thing. You know, get a proper large money shareholders, institutional shareholders owning banks. Currently, you know, there are 108 commercial banks and more than 1,500 rural banks all over the place. So what we can see will be a wave of mergers, I guess, with these financial institutions, which is going to be good. You know, better capitalized financial institutions being allowed to provide services, financial services, to an economy that only will is set to grow, you know. It's set to grow, and it's. I think this is going to be a huge case changer for Indonesia.
I'm sure a lot of investors will be very excited as well.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent. Leslie, as always, thank you for your time. Do take care and stay safe. Yeah.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.